Welcome back to The Embodied Leader, dear ones. I'm your host, Elise Bessler, and I'm claiming this little part of the internet and the airwaves to help you better understand yourself so that you can better understand your people. And if that sounds rather lofty to you, well, make sure you stick around because we've got a doozy today. Today, we're talking about self-sabotage, why we do it, what causes it, and how we can begin to heal it. Now, the definition of self-sabotage is when we take actions that are against our best interest, despite having the capacity or the ability or the desire to do otherwise. Another way to put it is when we do or don't do specific things or take specific actions that block our success or prevent us from accomplishing our goals or even living the life or having the businesses that we truly desire. And it's a biggie. And it's something that I support my clients through on a daily basis. And you know what? It's also something that I've had extensive experience in myself. So I thought I might share one of those stories with you today to begin. And then, of course, I'll also share about the ways that you can support yourself through your own moments of self-sabotage as well. Now, there's a reason why I chose to sing that line for you. I am a singer. I've always been a singer. I grew up singing. It was the catalyst to me healing the crippling shyness that I experienced as a child. And it remains to this day one of the most regulating activities that I can do for my own nervous system. And it's also how I creatively express myself as a singer and a songwriter. And I've been a voice coach, right? I've been a voice coach for a good portion of my adult life. And even though I've been coaching other people how to claim the power of their artistic souls and their artistic voices, I haven't always been doing the same thing for myself. So as a kid, I had really big dreams to be on stage and to be a performer. And I even took some of the steps to make that happen. I recorded an album in my 20s. This was original music. And I had some moderate success with this album. I had a few high profile gigs and I had some radio play and I even had a few of the songs placed on a television show. Where are my Canadian teen drama fans at? It was Radio Free Roscoe, so put that one in your pocket and carry it to the bank. Literally. I also should say that I've also been in a large body most of my life. And I share this because it's an important factor as to why I self-sabotaged myself in my desire to singing. I was bullied as a kid. I was made fun of when I was on stage. I was rejected from auditions and performance opportunities. Despite really having the talent to do the thing, I was rejected and sent away, right? And most importantly, I wasn't taken serious as an artist because we all know how people in large bodies are perceived on screens and on stages. So imagine that experience, right? I had this deep desire to be on stage, to be visible, to be seen, to be heard. And when I did those things, I was shut down with comments or really the awful experience of being rejected based solely on my appearance. So I began to feel ashamed of my gift. And instead of sharing it with the world, I hid. Naturally, this led me to feeling unsafe to speak up, unsafe to be visible. It was more of a threat to my brain to express myself than to stay silent and to stay safe. And so in came the self-sabotage. I made every excuse in the book to avoid showing up in my careers in ways that would require me to use my voice and to be visible. I know, right? A voice and performance coach not using her voice and not being visible. Well, it turns out, since I've supported quite a few of my colleagues in my coaching work, it's actually really common, right? So when I look back at it, it all makes sense now. Helping others over helping myself. Avoiding the actions and the connections that I needed to make in order to be on the stage, right? Making excuses as to why I wasn't singing and performing. And of course, there was the biggie, blaming other people for my lack of success. It was all self-sabotage. And I also have to say it was also the effects of living in a large body in an anti-fat bias fatphobic world. So let's be real, right? Let me just say that if Lizzo was an active performer back in the day when I was coming up, I would have had a way different mindset and felt totally different about my possibilities to be on stage. That woman is a trailblazer. I think we can all agree on that. But I think something important to remember about self-sabotage is that it's rarely a conscious behavior. I would say it probably is never a conscious behavior. In my own experience, I didn't ever consciously choose to avoid anything or to make excuses or to blame other people for my lack of action. No, it just happened. And another important thing to remember is that those self-sabotaging behaviors are actually keeping us safe. So in my case, with the singing, I was keeping myself safe from ridicule and rejection and heartache. Like, just to say it there actually makes my throat close up a little bit. So our survival brain or our primal brain or our lizard brain or our old brain, it doesn't matter what you call it, it doesn't like change, right? It happens to be the part of our brain that helps us sense danger and it keeps us safe and it helps us sense out perceived threat. And it isn't attached to our executive functioning. So of course we're not making choices. It's just happening in our bodies. So when we're about to do something scary or unpredictable, like speak our truth or step up on stage or set a boundary, like whatever you want to say, our brain will choose for us to stay in the safety of self-sabotaging behaviors rather than throwing us to the wolves. I heard a really great quote the other day. It's that our bodies will almost always choose a familiar hell than choose an unfamiliar heaven. So it's not uncommon to stay in the state of self-sabotage. Most people who are self-sabotagers do. And I know for me in my conundrum around singing and sharing my voice, it was when I finally knew what safety felt like in my body that I was able to break free from that pattern and finally get my music out into the world. And I did. Eventually, I did. On my 40th birthday. Thank you very much. I was like, kids, it's time. We got to get this music out into the world. So I'm in the business of helping people transform those unserving behaviors that keep them from being fully expressed and keep them from showing up the way they want to. So I'd love to share with you what my top three tools for helping to heal self-sabotaging behaviors are. The first one is neurosomatic intelligence, nervous system regulation tools. These have been an absolute game changer in my own life, my own personal life, and also in my work for my clients. So specifically, I like to focus with my clients on the vagus nerve, which happens to be one of the longest branches of cranial nerves in our body. And it's responsible for helping us sort of vacillate between mobilized energies and fight or flight, sympathetic kind of energies and parasympathetic energies, which are more of the kind of calm and relaxed and also can be the collapse state as well. But the vagus nerve is responsible for that. It also happens to be the nerve that is the nerve of confidence, right? It helps us to speak up because part of the vagus nerve actually makes the vocal cords vibrate. It helps us to feel a sense of calm because it actually innervates with the heart and the diaphragm and the lungs, right? It allows us to have that felt sense of safety and confidence when we show up. So when we release the nerves around the throat and the neck and the vagus nerve, we're in effect changing the signals that come from our body to our brain, and there's less of a perceived threat because there's a felt sense of safety in our body. So game-changing tools. The second is trauma-informed mindset work. And episode 4, which is the last episode, was all about why adding felt sense of safety to our mindset work is vitally important to making sure that we're not causing further harm to our clients or ourselves. But know that adding mindset work to our self-sabotaging behaviors can actually help mobilize us up out of them, especially when that felt sense of safety and acceptance exists on an embodied level. The third tool I'd like to share with you is somatic wisdom. This is where we start listening to the cues of our body and letting the wisdom of those cues guide our choices, guide our decisions. And it's not just about listening to our body, and I'm putting that in air quotes, because we can listen to it. Sometimes it's not safe. Sometimes it doesn't feel safe to listen to our body. This is about understanding what those cues mean and then using the other tools to help us regulate ourselves so that we can show up with that confidence. So there's a bonus here, folks. I'm going to be teaching all of these tools in the Embodied Leader Incubator, and that's happening this fall from September to December. So there's a link in the show notes if you're interested in having a discovery call with me and seeing if the program might be a good fit for you. And there's also a sales page that you can check out with all of the really beautiful, good information. So to sum up, self-sabotaging behavior doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. In fact, one might say that it means that your body and your brain are working exactly the way they're supposed to, keeping you safe. By using specially curated tools, you can rewire what a felt sense of safety feels like in your body. And your brain is going to be able to make different meaning and create different outputs based on that felt sense of safety. This moves us into more aligned and purposeful action. So keep in touch, friends. You can reach me via email at hello@elisebessler.com, on Instagram at Elise Bessler, on YouTube at The Embodied Leader, and on Apple and Spotify podcasts at The Embodied Leader. I love hearing from you all once you've listened to these episodes. So make sure you reach out to me, fire me a message, and let me know how today's episode supported you or if you have any other questions that may have shown up about it. See you next time on The Embodied Leader.